This week on Art in the Air, we feature New Carlisle's quaint artisan shop, Feeney's Home Goods, with its owner, Marcy Kaufman. Next, we discuss Nature in the Arts events offered by the Shirley Hines Land Trust with Willow Walsh. Our spotlight is on Lebesnik's Art Festival with Janet Block, happening on Saturday and Sunday, August 20th and 21st.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight, of course, she's been with us many times before, the Executive Director for Lebesnik Center for the Arts in Michigan City. And she's going to tell us about a lot of things going on, but especially this month, you have something special going on, Janet. Welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Aloha. Thank you, Esther, and thank you, Larry. Nice to be here.
So what you got going on?
Well, the third weekend in August, as in every year, we have our annual Lebesnik Arts Festival. This year, it's our 40th anniversary, so it takes place on August 20th and 21st from 10 to 5. There are many things to tell you about this year. The first is that admission on Saturday is $5, free to kids and members and military, and on Sunday, it's free family day, so everybody who comes will be admitted for free, and we encourage people to bring their families, and this is courtesy of McDonald's of LaPorte County. So I will mention just some of our other bigger sponsors, our First Source Bank and Bulk Equipment, Haas and Associates, Current Electric. They're all very, very good to us, so want to mention, give them a shout out.
So how many artists do you have this year? You know, after we hit COVID and that kind of caused a shutdown, last year was like kind of your restarting year. So what do you got? Right. And some of the artists you have.
So this year we have, we actually had a huge amount of artist supply, and we limited it to 60 artists. Or 60 artists, and that includes a couple of community booths like our Area Artists Association, and the work that we do with Paladin and Social and Learning. But we limited it because we need a footprint for three murals that will be painted on site by three unbelievable artists. The murals are 8 feet by 8 feet, and they will be completed by the end of the day on Sunday at 5 o'clock when we close.
Who are the artists?
So we have Chris Silva, who is an award-winning muralist, hails from Chicago, but now lives in South Bend. We have somebody who goes by the marker Dredsky. He's an African-American artist from Chicago doing some really incredible murals. And Felix Maldonado from East Chicago. And we have sponsors for all of them, and we know they're going to do a fantastic job, and we're psyched. So in addition, we have a beer and wine garden, beer and wine tent this year. And we just expect that, you know, all we need is good weather.
How about any artistic demonstrations?
You know, there will probably be a couple demos, but they will be announced. I mean, we haven't gotten that far because we also have at 2 o'clock on Sunday, we have the LaPorte Symphony Orchestra harpist playing inside of the gallery where the Monique Maloche Presents show is going on. So right now we have so much going on, we're just going to have to get to our scheduled demo a little later, but probably we will see something from John Rizka, who is always a Michigan City glass artist who returns often. And
what about who's going to have the indoor gallery spaces? Are
the
you
indoor? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the indoor gallery spaces are there's a new artist that we met recently who's on a residency at the Lakeside Inn. And you're going to have to forgive me. It's Richton. I'm going to have to think of his last name. I just emailed with him. He does weaving, and we're really interested in his work. And one of the other artists is Annika Decker, who will show really a lifetime display of her paintings, sculptures, jewelry. And then in our small NIPSCO area, we have two artists, Melissa Blount and Ben Blount, who are artists from Evanston, Illinois. So we're pretty excited. They're all contemporary. Things might not, well, Annika will definitely have things for sale, but the other artists might put on more of an installation aspect. So we'll see.
And this year, do you have a kids tent?
Always. Family tent. Which yes. There will be many activities going on. Yes.
Talk about the exhibit basically in your main gallery. That's going through October 21st, but you do have a family day coming up on Saturday, October 15th. So maybe tell us a little bit about what to expect with that.
Family day is always free, and we have tours that are family friendly for the exhibit. So if you bring kids, it will keep them in mind. They're always very accessible. And then there will be a project that relates to something that the families see in the exhibit. And there's always snacks and treats for the kids. So, or the adults as well. So, you know, we do these frequent, we do one for each show. Sometimes we have extra ones. You know, I think we've told people that we have now we offer two bilingual options. One is for Spanish speakers and one is for American Sign Language. So if you're going to need, you know, either of those interpreters, we would just appreciate you letting us know a couple weeks in advance, and we're happy to line those up. Also, just for free tours in general, if you've got, you know, 10 people that want to take a tour that are all Spanish speakers, we have actually two Spanish speaking docents. So we're ready for you.
You're ready for them. If you're interested, it's lebesnickcenter.org on the web. Lebesnick Center Art Festival, August 20th and 21st. 20th, it's $5. And the 21st, it's a free family day courtesy of McDonald's of LaPorte County. That's Janet Block from Lebesnick, the executive director. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Year Spotlight.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you both for giving me an opportunity. Thanks.
And a spotlight extra, the brand new Miller Community Theater will be running Mad Woman's Cabaret, opening August 12th, running through August 14th at the Marshall J. Gardner Center in Miller on Lake Street. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
We would like to welcome Marcy Kaufman to Art on the Air. Marcy is the force behind Feeney's Hometown Goods. Feeney's is an artisan's good shop featuring Three Sisters Essentials, skin products, and Black Tree Studio Pottery. Other art includes wood carvings, stained glass, handmade jewelry, clothing, watercolors, pillows, fair trade and organic teas, and local honey, all located in the charming town of New Carlisle, Indiana. Marcy, Larry, and I thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, Marcy, we always like our guests to tell them about their origin story, where they grew up and everything. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm sort of ending up where I started. I am pretty much a small town girl, so I grew up in New Carlisle. Actually moved to Michigan City in my eighth grade year, so that was kind of a culture shock going from small town New Carlisle to Michigan City in the 70s, and grew to love Michigan City, and took sort of a circuitous route, but I ended up going to college at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California. And so then after I was done there, I had to figure out, do I want to come back to my hometown, New Carlisle, or and visit California, or live out there and just be able to visit here? And I chose to come back to my home base, and that's New Carlisle. So
what sparked your interest in the arts? Did you do it in school?
Well, I'm a retired home ec. Now it's called family and consumer science, because we make it sound so official. But I'm a home ec-y, and I taught at New Prairie for 30 years. And so actually involved in that is the love of fiber arts. I really love all types of fiber arts. So I guess probably that, whether it's interior design and decorating and fiber arts, sewing, weaving, things like that. And I've kind of dabbled in a lot of different things, but I'm more of a one hit wonder. I might make something and then that's it, and I go on to the next thing. So I don't consider myself an artisan and an artist, but I have a love of and appreciate all different types of art.
So when did you come up with the idea for Feeney's Hometown Goods?
Well, I also have a love for preservation and anything old. And so we were able to purchase this building here in New Carlisle, and it needed to get gutted and rehabbed. And that's another love of mine. And so we did that. I was still teaching, and my husband said, okay, what are you going to do with it now? Now that the building's done. And I had to think about that. And since I was still teaching, I just decided to sell other people's things. And all different types of artistic goods. And we actually have quite a few people just locally that I knew already and things that I thought it would be fun to give them an outlet or venue to try to sell their things. So that's pretty much how it evolved. And I was able to have the store and be open while I was still finishing up my teaching career.
Now, like you said, home economics, which is now completely different. Briefly, how has that changed over your career, just as a side thing from art, and how that's evolved?
Well, it used to be more hands-on, where it was, they always say it's much more than cooking and sewing, but there's nothing wrong with cooking and sewing and learning about nutrition and those things. And now I think that it's less hands-on. They don't do as much of the sewing and cooking, and it's more like family interpersonal relationship classes and family relationships and what are some of the other things that I taught, that personal finance and those types of things. And it's really kind of sad, because the kids actually love the doing, you know, the producing and the hands-on activities, like in the arts and things. That's the beauty of it, not learning just the theory about it and things like that. So that's changed. And then, of course, as far as family and consumer science classes go, in many schools, it just doesn't exist anymore. So that's always, just like the arts, it's one of the first things to start getting cut. in school budgets and things that they feel isn't quite as important as some of the other foundational classes and subjects.
So what kind of art do you enjoy? Since you claim not to necessarily be an artist or a one-time off, but that makes you kind of an art curator, so to speak. But what do you enjoy?
I really love watercolors, and we have a few people that do some exceptional watercolors, so I'm drawn to that more. I do love the fiber arts, whether it's sewn items, weaving. I absolutely love weaving. I've dabbled in it just a bit, but I have quite an appreciation for that. We have an artisan who does really beautiful, more primitive style wool applique. So it's felted and weaving, or I should say applique pillows and things like that, and table runners and things like that. So, our pottery is, I've really gained a whole new appreciation of pottery because we have Black Tree Studio Pottery, and I've learned so much from them, Steve and Louise, and they just do an exceptional job, and that brings a lot of people into our store. So I just, you know, our wood carvings, as I'm sitting here looking around the store as I'm talking, and it's just all beautiful.
It is. It is. So what was the evolution of it? When you opened the doors, how many artists did you have, and what type of work was there, and how has it evolved, and how did you collaborate with Three Sisters?
Well, I'll start with the Three Sisters. So Three Sisters are actually three sisters that grew up in town here, and the Kern sisters, and I've been friends with especially the youngest one, Laurel, basically my whole life. We played marbles back in the day in elementary school. And so so we've been friends forever. And the three sisters got together, and really it was spearheaded by their sister Marcy. So I'm Marcy and she's Marcy, and it gets nice and confusing for the store. But Marcy worked, she's retired now, but she worked in a lab at Notre Dame, biologist. And so she knows all the science behind it all. And she just really wanted to start a skincare company that is just about simple, whole ingredients, mostly organic, that go into the skincare products, and that they're at a reasonable price. So that's where that started. And so when I opened the store, when I opened Feeney's, I said, well, why don't you take a section and have a little Three Sisters, kind of an apothecary area. And so so I get to be with my friends, and so we've got that section. And then the Potter's wife invited them to come in and have a section of the store. And then the rest, I just basically asked people who I already knew in town, did all sorts of different types of art, painting and so on, maybe making some jewelry and things like that. And it just started filling up. So originally, I don't know, it's been 11, it'll be 12 years in November, had maybe, I don't know, I'll say 40 artisans. And now I've got, I've had, it ebbs and flows, but around 100 different people who have things here. But for some of them, some make more than others. It's very free flowing. The criteria just, you know, from this area, and the area meaning, you know, LaPorte, Michigan City, South Bend, Niles. I've got one lady who does really neat things. She's from DeMott, Indiana. And so And some people make more than one thing. Some people just make, I have one woman who does beautiful tatting, a lost art, which is like lace, and she's from Niles. And so she makes some doilies and bookmarks and things. So.
And what about the story behind the name Feeney's?
Well, I bought the building from Gerard Feeney, and he had had his law office here since, I think probably late 50s. I'm not exactly sure when he started, but he had this building and his law office. And he was getting elderly, but still very vital and running the office and things. And I always had a dream of having one of the downtown historic commercial buildings. I just thought that would be so cool. You always grow up thinking, oh, it'd be so neat to have a little shop of some sort. So I put a bug in his ear a couple times. I said, if you're ever interested in selling, Mr. Feeney, I would be interested in buying. And years passed. And then I just get a phone call. And when he was ready to retire, he called me and we met, and he sold it to me. So it was this, it's just kind of a sweet story, because he ended up in a nursing home and we were negotiating the building, and he became ill and he was in a nursing home, and he asked for me to come see him. And so I did. And we had a nice chat, and then he asked me, and we agreed on a price, and he scribbled it down. And of course, being a lawyer, he had his briefcase with him, and he stuck the paper in the briefcase, and, you know, it was really a handshake deal. And he asked me to, wheel him back to his room. And so I did. And it was just so sweet. He asked me, you know, I said, can I take your slippers off? And he got into bed and things. And then he took my hand and he kissed it, and aww, he was so sweet. And then, he passed away the next day, I think.
Oh, oh my gosh.
And I mean, it just made me so sad. And I thought, well, you know, we hadn't really done anything legal about me purchasing it and things. And I just thought, you know, I'll throw it up to, you know, the gods, and whatever happens, you know, it happens, because I didn't know, you know, as far as the estate and things. But a few weeks later, I got a call from one of his sons, and he said, I understand you were trying to buy the building. And I said, yes, you know, we had talked, and I said, actually, we had agreed on a price. He scribbled it down on a piece of paper and stuck it in his briefcase. I said, I don't know if you'll be able to find it or anything, but that's where we were at. And so I got a phone call from his son, and he said, we found it and we'll honor that. So it was really just really very sweet.
It was very kismet. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I keep pictures here of Mr. Feeney, and he was just a wonderful man. So I just thought, to get back to why it's Feeney's, I just felt like I just wanted to honor that. And so this had been Mr. Feeney's building for so long, so I just called it Feeney's. Yeah.
It's so, well, it explains the beautiful energy maybe in the building too. It's really lovely. I thought it was just the artist, but it goes beyond that.
Yeah. It's just a lot of good things have happened for me to be able to be here.
Now, is New Carlisle kind of becoming a little artist thing, or are you kind of an island in the middle of like the downtown areas?
That would be nice. We would love that. We're actually in a huge transition right now, because I don't know if you've heard, but the Village Shops, the retail stores in town that take up half of our north side of our commercial businesses, buildings, and across the street, it's called The Collection. And it's home design, interior design items and things like that. decorative items and so on. And they also have Christmas villages and ornaments, and they're a big draw. Bill Sutton and his family owned that for 47 years, and he just last week announced that he's retiring and selling it all. And so this is, and we're all so happy for him. He's put more than his time in and contributed to New Carlisle in incredible ways. But for the town itself, it's devastating. And I have now become sort of, I'm the only game in town once it closes for good, once all his shops do. So we are in position for a renaissance here in town. I don't really, it's very scary because we're going to have, we don't know if anybody is, who might buy the buildings, what kind of businesses might go in and things like that. So
it's kind of exciting though, too, because you don't know that. I mean, it might turn into that collective.
Yeah, it could and it couldn't. And it just depends on my mood on which I choose to, how I choose to look at it. It's very, very scary. We have been truly blessed in our small town to have his successful business mm-hmm. that draws people from like a 2-hour radius to come to New Carlisle. And I probably never would have opened Feeney's if he didn't have such a successful business, you know. So we would love to have more artisans come in. And
well, you have the bakery, right? The baker's
next. The bakery. We still have a hardware store. But that's, and we have our beautiful historic New Carlisle building that we rehabbed. I'm part of historic New Carlisle, and that we rehabbed and moved into. And they have a little gift shop area, and that's been really successful for just to get walk-in traffic and things like that. But it's a transition time. And so if you come to New Carlisle and come to Feeney's, I'll try to make it as worthwhile as possible, because right now there's, he'll probably close in, I don't know, probably September.
Soon.
Yeah, he's having a sale, selling all the inventory off now and things. So, yeah.
So with Feeney's, are you still accepting new artists, and how do they get in touch with you?
I am. I'm sort of changing things up. In town, we really, really need an antique vintage shop, and that's another love of mine, is all things antique and vintage. And I love to go to auctions and things. So I decided that I was going to sort of infuse some of my antiques and vintage items within the store. So I have been phasing out a few things that just haven't sold well all over the years. And I've actually been selling some of my antique and vintage things. So that's been really fun to see. But our town could definitely, I get inquiries about that weekly. People will ask, is there an antique or vintage shop in town? Because it's an old fashioned town and you kind of expect that. So hint out there, that's something we could use. So, but I still, it's a finite space, and I think, I can't take another thing. But then if somebody brings something in that's just so beautiful, it's really hard to say no. So
that's true.
Is that something that maybe you could use some other space? I mean, you expand Feeney's and...
I know, I was thinking across the street.
Across the street.
I'm an old woman. That's my favorite line. I'm kind of tapped out. I just can't imagine expanding unless I had some help with manning it and things like that. I'm involved in our local Main Street group Discover New Carlisle. I'm involved in Historic New Carlisle. I'm on the town council. It's really more about how many hours are in the day. So I'm kind of tapped out as far as, and I would love to see some new and different things come in. So I think I'll probably just hang on with what I have. I don't plan on closing anytime soon, that's for sure. And especially now. And so we'll just keep on keeping on and see how it all goes.
Anything you're looking forward to, maybe looking for your shop, like some other thing that you're not featuring, like, you know, Esther talked about, like, other artists getting in touch with you, but something you would like to have in your shop?
I'm not sure. I've been trying to get, and of course I can't think of her name right now. Oh, Felting by Laura. Laura, if you're out there, I still want your things. Oh my gosh, she does beautiful felted pictures and art, you know, and it's just incredible. Wool felting. And I'm just enamored by that. But really, jewelry remains very popular, and there's so many different types and different artisans out there who do beautiful types of jewelry. So I'm always interested in those types of things.
Are you mostly consignment, or do you buy outright?
Mostly consignment, but that's just the method I use. I always have to clarify that, because it's not a consignment shop. Because when that is said, it's like the kiss of death, because then people think it's just other people's cast-offs and things. So I use the consignment method to sell, but all the items are new or upcycled or repurposed or something like that, and artistic and so on. So yeah, I learned early on that when that word consignment gets attached to your store, it's the kiss of death.
Well, real quick, we need to wrap up here. Tell us a little bit about where you're located, Feeney's Home Goods, and tell us about your websites, Facebook, and any other contact information.
115 Michigan Street in New Carlisle, Indiana. We have one main block of historic downtown, so I'm right there. On Facebook, Feeney's Hometown Goods, and Instagram. Website, I'm still working on it. It's had a few incarnations. So, and if you need anything, just go to the Facebook page. It's probably the easiest thing, and message me or whatever.
Well, we appreciate you coming to Art of the Air. That's Marcy Kaufman. Feeney's, which is located, Feeney's Hometown Goods, located in New Carlisle. And if you get a chance to get down there, great experience. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air.
Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
We would like to welcome Willow Walsh to Art on the Air. Willow is the communications coordinator for the Shirley Hines Land Trust. She's here to talk about the free series of Nature in the Arts events happening this year. The programs combine the outdoors with hands-on art experiences for all ages. Thank you, Willow, for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate you coming on. And for our WVLP listeners, you probably hear Willow, and she can tell us a little bit about that with the programming that we have there. Briefly, we want to first talk just about you and tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll move on to tell what the mission of the Land Trust is, just in case people haven't seen all those signs all over the Northwest Indiana of that. But tell us the mission, and then we'll get on to the project you're working on. So, Willow, tell us about yourself, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. So, as Esther mentioned, I'm the communications coordinator for Shirley Hines Land Trust. That falls in a lot of different categories, but essentially my job is to let people know about the land trust, that it's free and open to everyone, and that we just love to have people come out and enjoy it, because that's our whole mission there, is just preserving and protecting land for folks.
And tell us about you, like where you grew up and how you got, you know, to what you're doing now. So like, where you grew up.
Yeah. No, so I actually grew up in Valparaiso. So I'm from here, from around here. I went to Valparaiso University. So I guess I'm just very enveloped in Valparaiso City. And so how I got to Shirley Hines was... it's actually so surprising, because as somebody who's lived in Valparaiso my entire life, I had only heard of Meadowbrook Nature Preserve, which is over there off Campbell. But actually, I didn't know how many preserves there were. And to me, that's pretty exciting, because I don't know, I just think about all the development here. I mean, you guys know all the condos and roadways and everything that's just coming up all over the place. It's just really nice to know that there are free, open spots for people to actually go into nature and not be surrounded by concrete and whatnot. Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about the history of the land trust and how it formed and what exactly then what you do with it.
Right. Is the land purchased? Is it donated? What's the background?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually a combination of both. So we've been operating as Shirley Hines Land Trust since 1981. So we are celebrating our 41st anniversary this year. And essentially what we do is we are a 501c3 environmental nonprofit. And so we protect land specifically in northwestern Indiana. And we have about 2,800 acres across Lake, Porter, LaPorte, St. Joseph, and Marshall counties. Mm-hmm. And that is about 23 of our nature preserves. And most of those are open to the public, free and open, dawn to dusk, year round. Shirley Hines itself, we're actually headquartered in Valparaiso at the Meadowbrook Nature Preserve. And that's a really cool spot. I don't know if anybody's been there yet, but it is. It's on 700 right off of Campbell. And we have about 225 acres of land that we have there. And we're about to expand a little bit bigger, depending on if our agreements go through. So that would, you know, expand that acreage to maybe well over 600. But there are about 4 miles of trails there, and we did just redo our parking lot, and there's a pavilion there, and restrooms are going in. So if people bike past there, it's going to be a really awesome spot. But yeah, so essentially preserving and protecting land, we either receive donations from folks of parcels of land that they'd like to see protected. Sometimes we have agreements with a city, like we're having one right now in East Chicago, where they've sort of given over a piece of property to us where we go in and manage it. And essentially what that looks like is we have a stewardship team that goes in there and they'll cut down invasive species, plant some native Indiana species in there, and then just create some paths and trailways for folks to just park and go in and take a walk.
You know, I'm interested also in the namesake, Shirley Hines. Tell us a little bit about her and the history of how the land trust came from her founding it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. We actually don't know a whole lot about Shirley Hines herself. We haven't been able to find a whole lot of info, but essentially her namesake is on it because she was really interested in protecting local land. And so after her death, in memory of her, her friends got together and donated a piece of land and sort of started the ethos of this organization. So Shirley Hines was from Northwest Indiana. And yeah, we've just sort of been keeping it going since 1981, just collecting more and more land beyond what her friends had given us. And yeah, now we're across like six different counties, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, she was from Ogden Dunes, I think, originally. And she was also very heavily involved in Save the Dunes with those people. And she passed away, unfortunately, at only age 51. So
yes.
Yep. So anyway, and you said everything is free and accessible. It covers mostly Porter County, or is it Porter? Tell us about the scope of the land that's in the trust.
Yeah, so we have a few different ecosystems within our 2,800 acres. So we have a couple of dune and swale habitat ecosystems, which is something really specific, sort of formed from Lake Michigan. And so that's over up in Seidner Dune and Swale. You can see that nature preserve up in Hammond. If you're on the toll road, for example, our sign is right across from the toll road. We also have Ivanhoe South Nature Preserve in Gary, which is also part of that dune and swale habitat. One of our newer ones is out in Leidick Bog, which is in South Bend. That's in St. Joseph County. And that is a real rare bog that we have in Indiana. And that's something that's really special because bogs are really... I mean, I said rare, but it's true for this sort of ecosystem in northwestern Indiana, and that bogs don't receive any groundwater or anything else part of the water table. They're just sort of this round dome of earth that's been carved out from glaciers and sort of fills in with rainwater. And then it has all of these specialized plants that have, you know, been adapted to this sort of acidic conditions in the bog. So we're really excited about that one. We did just create a new boardwalk, and that's ADA accessible for folks to go out there and go on the boardwalk and see the bog itself. So that's our farthest eastern spanning nature preserve. We did just get a property out in Marshall County, out in Bourbon. That one's our newest one. That one's not quite open to the public yet. We haven't gotten any trails out there. But I would say primarily, if you're looking to dip your toes into Shirley Heinz walking trails, there's our fantastic one at Meadowbrook in Valparaiso, and we have about four different ones in Chesterton. There's Ritchie Nature Preserve, Walner Nature Preserve, Walnut Woods, Grainier. Yeah, there's a lot of different options here. And what's really exciting is that a few of the ones out in Chesterton actually are on the Little Calumet River. So we actually have a few kayak launches up there, too, so folks can take their kayaks out. I know I'm always looking for a place to haul mine out, justify that purchase.
There was I saw new signs over at the St. Anthony's Franciscan Hospital.
Yes.
I can't wait to go explore that one.
Yeah, that one's fantastic. We actually partnered with Franciscan Health on that one to create sort of mental health interpretive signage that lets folks know like some of the benefits that you can have while walking out there. I know we're talking nowadays more about like forest bathing, what that does to your cortisol levels going out into the forest, lower blood pressure. But yeah, no, we have a lot of exciting partnerships. I would invite everyone to visit our website. I mean, we're out at heinztrust.org, and there's so many. I'm still so surprised. There's so many different ones, and there's like a lot of signage out there. Really great stuff.
Is this the first year you've done a series like Nature in the Arts with Shirley Heinz?
Yeah, so Nature in the Arts is a series. I believe we started it through the pandemic. I am quite new to Shirley Heinz. I just started this year. But through the pandemic, we were looking at ways to connect folks not only to our preserves, but also some of our programming. And a lot of that sort of took a dip, obviously, during the pandemic. So Nature in the Arts has been a really great way to connect people, you know, in the preserves when they can, but also virtually online to do some of our programming. Some of that looks like the Art Barn School of Art did one back in April where people did a paint-along session. And then during the Zoom meeting, you know, you see all those squares. We're so used to that now, but everybody turned their painting over and showed, you know, how well they were doing. And so that's super awesome. But it's sort of the Nature in the Arts event series has sort of evolved over time. And this year we're offering in-person events, but it is an annual around the summertime event series that we do. Yeah.
Well, you just had one that you had on July 16th. You did that at the Ambler Flatwoods Nature Preserve in Michigan City. And tell us all about that. And you partnered with the Lebesnik Center, I guess, on that, and Tyron Farm Institute. But I think it was called Make Your Own Field Guide. So tell us what was involved in that.
Yeah. So that was one that was pretty exciting because while we are offering all these arts events, Shirley Heinz knows how to bring the environmental aspect and all of the land, but we're really excited to create some partnerships with local art centers that really helps us get that creative arm in with our programming. But on July 16th, we had participants out at Ambler Flatwoods Nature Preserve in Michigan City, and we had some interpretive signage up along the trail. So the first thing that participants did, they took a walk through the trail, saw some of those signage that was just talking about the local flora and fauna, some, you know, leaves or frogs or animals that they're seeing around them, so they can learn a little bit more about, you know, what's here in Indiana. And then after that, they were able to go over to Tryon Farms Institute, which is also in Michigan City. And they created their own personalized nature field guide. And I did get to see videos of this. It's really sweet. Folks were around the table and they were cutting out leaf templates from cardstock and putting them together and doing a little some drawings and illustrations and labels of what they were seeing out there. So it was very similar to the signage they saw along the walk. But yeah, so folks were able to take home this little booklet that they created. So the next time when they go out on a nature walk, they can pull out the booklet, see the little frog drawing that they drew and think, oh yeah, that's right. That's a spring peeper or that's an American bullfrog. So that was pretty awesome.
So you have other things coming up. So if they missed out on the July 16th event, let's go like one by one and tell us a little bit of the details on each one that you have going on. You have quite a few. I think like you have four more, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're very creative and exciting. I mean, you came up with a great program.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're super excited about the amount of partners we have on board for this. On August 20th, our next one, it's at Meadowbrook Nature Preserve from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And we're partnering with the Art Barn School of Art, and they're going to help participants craft a nature collage, which is sort of using an amalgamation of sustainable natural items like leaves and twigs and anything sort of found on the ground to create the sort of collage. And then the Chesterton Art Center is going to help people create DIY nature wands, which we've had a lot of RSVPs to that one because it's just so fun that you're creating a sort of like a stick wand, but then again, you're implementing all these natural elements like leaves and twigs and everything found on the ground, acorn caps, and then you're creating your own little magical nature wand that you get to take home with you. And what's wonderful about these events is that they are on our preserve. So while you're waiting for that glue to dry, you can go out and take a walk on the preserve and then come back and collect that. But yeah, we're really excited with all of our events. They're all very family friendly, free, open to the public. You can bring your four-legged friends. We'll have snacks, water, and restrooms are available too.
You said there's no fee for it. Is there a limit on how many people can participate, or is this open-ended?
Open-ended, yeah. You can check us out online, heinztrust.org, and that'll let you know how many people have RSVP'd. So if you are wary about the crowd of people that might be there, that'll let you know how many folks are planning to attend. But
you need to RSVP?
Oh, you do not need to RSVP. That just gives us a sense of how many folks will be there. But definitely, if you can RSVP, we invite you to do that. But if you're making a last minute decision, we still absolutely would love to see you out at these events.
But what you have next, you have a whole wide range of things coming up. And so
August 27th.
Yeah. Tell us about that one.
Yeah. So 7 days later on August 27th out at Leidick Bog Nature Preserve, which is in South Bend, participants can actually be there to see plein air painters actually sitting around and viewing the landscape and creating these paintings live. And then the Art Barn School of Art will take participants through a mixed media DIY collage, just similar to the other nature collage. So you're going to be able to see these painters, create a collage. And again, while that glue is drying, we invite you to go out and take a walk at Leidick Bog.
Very good. That's and that'll be in South Bend on August 27th. And then you have another one in September. So tell us about the details on that one, Willow.
Yes. So on September 24th at Meadowbrook Nature Preserve in Valpo from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Art Barn School of Art and Chesterton Art Center will lead participants through cyanotype printmaking and a nature walking journal inspired by your findings on the trail. And a cyanotype print, for those who might not know, it's actually, you're employing a photosensitive liquid, which turns blue in sunlight. And so what's cool is if you sort of put some leaf prints or flower stems on those prints and then put this photosensitive liquid over it and leave it out in the sun to get those UV rays, you'll leave behind all of these like fun natural shapes on the print. So that one's always pretty cool. I love seeing those.
I know, they're beautiful.
Together. Right? Oh my gosh. I'm very excited about that one. And yeah, and that one again will be at our Meadowbrook Nature Preserve in Valpo.
And then one more on October 1st.
Yes. And that one is at Ivanhoe South Nature Preserve. And that one is going to be a little bit different because we are partnering with a few different nonprofit organizations in that area to sort of, we want to celebrate the BIPOC art in Gary, Indiana. And so we'll have some artists there with their art so you can sort of see and interact with that. And then we'll also be helping those who show up to create their own dune and swale habitat inspired landscape art. And so you will be able to get your hands dirty and do some of that crafting there. And then as well, we also have outdoor yoga that'll be there. So there's a lot of different things you can participate in there. You definitely don't have to do all of the things, but there's a wide variety of things. So we invite people to come out to Ivanhoe South on October 1st for that one.
Or how many Shirley Hines staff people are at each of these? And is there somebody then available to maybe highlight, especially at the bog, like do a talk on the bog?
Yeah, absolutely. At every event, we will have Shirley Hines staff there, as well as the arts organizations that'll be there. And yeah, if you have any questions for us about the landscape around there or what trail to go on, we'll definitely be able to point you in the right direction.
Do you guys coordinate with, like, I know some of your things are very close to the Dunes, National Park, and not so much the state park, but do you coordinate with them sort of in terms of the overall Northwest Indiana package?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. No, we definitely coordinate with our other local organizations that do environmental programming. We have a few folks on our advisory board that lets us know, like, hey, we're actually going to be doing this at the national park, or we're going to be doing this over at Jasper, Pulaski Fish and Wildlife area. So we're definitely always sort of abreast of what's happening. And then we use those partnerships to sort of create things like this and how we can sort of market these events to a wider audience. So absolutely. That's a great question.
So Willow, do you have a personal one that you love to go visit when you have a moment to be in nature?
Really hard because they're all so different, but I think if I had to choose, I really love Ritchie Nature Preserve, especially in the springtime, because it's just a field of white trillium out there. And so you get to see all these beautiful flowers and they smell amazing when they're all together. And that one is a really gentle hike. It's about maybe less than a mile. Mm-hmm. And it's just butted up right against a suburb. So I love some of our preserves that they're just sort of amongst this residential housing. And then all of a sudden there's a Shirley Hines sign and parking. And wow, look, there's a whole nature preserve out there.
So what do you like to do outside of working at the organization? What are some of the things? I know you can briefly talk about do a show on WVLP. So tell us maybe a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, growing up here, I've always really been interested in, I don't know, what it means to be a neighbor to folks across these cities. Because I think what's so interesting about Northwest Indiana is that our cities are so sort of clustered right up against each other. So we're always sort of trying to be really individualized cities and make a name for ourselves. But what really interests me is, you know, all these similarities that we have between our cities, you know, all of these great nature escapes that we can go to. And so, I don't know, that really bolsters me in this position at Shirley Hines. But what really interests me is just, I don't know, what sort of drives our show on WVLP, which is Listen Up, Welcome Project Radio. I should probably mention that we're live on Saturdays at 12:30 every other Saturday. We talk about people's experience in the region and essentially what does it mean to live here and, you know, how has your experience been here? And so we talk to a variety of different people from a variety of different backgrounds. We talk to people who grew up in Gary and experienced, you know, the white flight of residents leaving to other cities and sort of what does that mean for Gary in 2022? We talk to trans students at VU and how their experience has been like and how people treat them. And there's so many different people that we love talking to. And I think our radio show really gives us an opportunity to sort of delve into some things that we might not know go on in the community. And, you know, it's like there are people who drive by and pick up trucks and yell things at you. But is that the extent of you know, non-welcomeness in this community? Or does it go deeper than that? You know, what are those experiences like? So I think that's sort of the framework for our show.
How long have you done this show?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I think it's probably been about 2 years now, maybe a little over 2 years. I don't know. The pandemic has really moved everything.
Changed
around.
Our timelines.
Yeah, it really has. But we actually have, the Welcome Project actually has an archive of all of our interviews that we've done with community residents across the region. And that's at welcomeproject.belpo.edu. And we have about, I'd say, over 350 stories right now. So if you are interested, if you don't catch the show, you can go online and view all of our stories of people's experiences here.
Oh, excellent. So Willow, can you let everybody know how they can leave these reservations or check out what Shirley Hines is doing?
Absolutely. To learn more about Shirley Hines's Nature and the Arts event series, you can visit us online at heinztrust.org, or you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Hines Trust to learn about upcoming events.
Well, then we'll have to wrap it up there from the Shirley Hines Land Trust. That's our guest today. She's talking about all the wonderful things they have going on for the Nature in the Arts program. The next one is August 20th. They have another one on August 27th, September 24th, and October 1st. And it's a really great opportunity for you to do something out in nature. Willow Walsh.
Yeah, do them all.
Thank you for being on Art on the Air.
Thank you, Willow.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.